At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hardworking ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit RedBarnInc.com to save a dollar on Red Barn grain-free canned food.
SRN Survival Radio Network.
It's Wellness Blueprint Radio with Dr. Maisha and Coach Elliot in the mornings, empowering you to live passionately and love deeply, redefining well-being so that people see life's challenges as opportunities. We unite love, laughter, and learning across the globe. Listen to us every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And now here are your hosts, Dr. Maisha and Coach Elliot.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Friday. I'm Dr. Maisha, and Coach Elliot is out today. However, we are here with another fabulous show, bringing you a weekend of wellness empowerment. So the number to call if you want to join our conversation is 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. And you just need to press 1 to let us know that you want to be heard. So this is, you know, a special month for more than a couple of reasons. Number one, today, as most of you know, about a year ago today, I gave birth to my son. And so today is my son, Prince Delson, who you sometimes get to actually hear on the show. Today is his first birthday. Yay! I'm very excited about that. We're going to be having a little party. The family's here. And just... You know, it's such a blessing to be able to experience motherhood. And, you know, we've had some shows on the air around motherhood and actually parenting and, you know, pediatric shows as well. And so it's an honor to be a part of that community, to be able to contribute fully and wholly to that conversation. A couple of announcements, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation, because we're going to have a juicy conversation today. First, let's do the Survival Radio Network Business of the Week. Da-da-da-da. Yes, I'm channeling my co-host. The SRN Business of the Week, One More Generation. One More Generation was founded in 2009 by 8-year-old Carter Reese and 7-year-old Olivia Reese. They started their own nonprofit in an effort to help educate children and adults about the plight of endangered species. Carter and Olivia have since launched additional divisions within OMG, designed to empower youth around the world to stand up and help create solutions for pressing issues of today. One More Solution. In order to get more information, go to onemoregeneration.com. That's onemoregeneration.com. That's amazing. You know, this is one of the things that I am, you know, hoping to be imparted upon my young one, that he, you know, it's so amazing that a 7 and 8-year-old would have the expandedness of consciousness to start a nonprofit like this, you know, to have that kind of awareness of endangered species. And I'm just, you know, hoping that this is the kind of awareness that I can bring to my little one, and especially, you know, with my commitment to contribution in the area of health and wellness. Whatever his contribution is fine with me, but just to be able to have such young minds and young souls being having a conversation for contribution at this age is just phenomenal. So, you know, kudos to Carter and Olivia, and please go to onemoregeneration.com and support them. And for any other information on all of the various radio shows and the various book clubs and things that we have going on at Survival Radio Network, you go to www.survivalradionetwork.us. A couple other announcements I have, as I've announced on previous shows, we have a day retreat coming up called Address Your Stress. This day retreat is going to be held on November the 7th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it will be featuring some of our wonderful guests previously on the radio show and known around Atlanta. We'll be addressing topics like the stress of parenting with our own very own Dr. Ruby, who does our wellness tip of the week. We'll be addressing issues like how stress affects our hormones, our bodies, the various ways that it does that. Nutrition and how to eat in a way that helps to decrease stress levels. So yes, there are actually foods that help to decrease stress levels by having different substances and neurotransmitters in the brain get released. So we'll be talking about that. We have a massage therapist, body worker, energy healer that'll be coming and doing an interactive class. So we'll be working with essential oils. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day, and it is only $50 to register. $50 to register. So in order to learn more about this day retreat called Address Your Stress, you can go to our Facebook page, and we will be posting it again this week, Address Your Stress. And you can also go to www.create-your-blueprint.com, sign up for our newsletter. We actually will be sending out weekly reminders, newsletters, and invitations to in order to, you know, invite you all to register and come out. Okay. Now, let's move it forward. Oh, and then one other thing I did want to announce is that, you know, most of you all, the audience, knows that it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, you know, if you are a survivor, if you know someone who has either died or survived from breast cancer, it's an opportunity for you to really support the various breast cancer events that are going on, the breast cancer walks, the various organizations that support breast cancer research. And so I just encourage you to not only to support these organizations, but to tell that person, if they're still with us, to how much you love and appreciate them. Life is not promised. And it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So, you know, we aired a repeat show last week, just increasing awareness around domestic violence. And as a child survivor, I definitely want for there to be increased awareness around domestic violence. And there's an organization who's very active in Atlanta, Georgia, called the Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence. You can support them by going to gcadv.org. That's gcadv.org. And you can find out all of the events that are happening this month to raise awareness against domestic abuse. Okay. So I want to introduce our lovely guest. Let's see here. We have today with us Yvette Bethel. And Yvette Bethel, today we're talking about EQ, which for those who may not know, we'll talk a little bit more about it once I introduce Yvette. But we're talking about unleashing the power of your emotional intelligence today. So Yvette Bethel is a Fulbright scholar and author with more than 20 years of professional experience at a Fortune 500 company and 9 years as an independent consultant at Organizational Soul. She is an advanced emotional intelligence practitioner within the 6 Seconds Network, a global nonprofit organization with the sole purpose of introducing emotional intelligence to the world. She's a member of the Lyford K. Scholarship Selection Committee, a member of the Special Olympics Fundraising Committee, freelance article writer, and the author of EQ Librium, Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence, the award-winning activity book, Getting to EQ, EQ Librium, I like that, EQ Librium, and the forthcoming book, Interconnectivity, Flow and Balance, A Paradigm of Organizational Engagement. I am super excited. I love this topic of emotional intelligence as an integrative medicine practitioner and a coach. So I am so looking forward to having this conversation. Let's welcome to the call Yvette Bethel. Warm welcome. Yay!
Hey, thank you so much for a wonderful introduction. It's great to be here.
Oh, that's so great to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm just looking forward to the conversation that will arise out of this this topic. So first, I just want to ask you, what is it? How did you get into emotional intelligence? How did you train in that, and like what led you on that path?
Well, I had a very interesting story because when I was working full-time in my role, I started making a list. And in that list, I was just writing down all of the different games that I saw people playing that I observed. And I was really interested because a lot of them, well, all of the ones that I was observing led to one person benefiting and someone not benefiting. And you know, I had accumulated about 50 pages of games, you know, just writing down things that I saw on a day-to-day basis. And from that, I started to ask the question, okay, how do we solve this? How do we solve this thing? Because it seems to be pervasive in the workplace. And emotional intelligence was what I came across. Emotional intelligence, it's about identifying or responding to a situation using the right amount of emotion in the right at the right time in the right place, just navigating those emotions so that you're constructive in the end. So that's how I got here. And once I figured out emotional intelligence and that would be one of the answers to all of this, then I started on my journey with 6 Seconds.
And so so I've got a question about what 6 Seconds is, but I also want to know, so let's talk about 6 Seconds. So what is 6 Seconds?
6 Seconds is an international organization. As you said earlier, it's not for profit. It's based in California. They have another base in Europe, in Italy, and another one in the Far East. They have a lot of representatives in multiple countries, but those are the three bases that they have. And, you know, their whole reason for being, as you said, is to introduce emotional intelligence to the world. And one of their mission is to get to, I think, 1 billion people by the year 2025. So they're very serious about this and dedicated to the cause of emotional intelligence.
That is awesome. That is, and it's so great that people are wanting to raise the awareness around emotional intelligence because you know, this is a fairly, I'd say a fairly new, it's not a new concept, but I think it's marketed newly. Like, when I say new, I mean like in the last, you know, 10 or so years.
You're right.
That's a new concept, you know?
Yeah, I think in the early 90s, two doctors, I think it was Peter Salovey and John Mayer, they coined the term emotional intelligence. It came out of a whole body of work that was social, that was referring to social intelligence. So that's that's when the term started, and ever since then it's been an evolving science.
Yes. So for the audience, let's talk about what is EQ? What is that?
EQ is really a measurement of your emotional intelligence. And the great thing about your emotional intelligence is that it's one of the intelligences that can be improved. You know, your IQ is set in stone, but your EQ is something that with work, unless there's some pathology, you can actually improve. And, you know, a lot of the coaching that I've done pre-tests and post-tests, and I've seen improvement with most of them. Some of them just did not want to improve. They didn't want to be in the coaching process, and that happens.
Yeah. So when we talk about emotional intelligence, what are some of the components of that? Like, how do you define that emotional intelligence?
Well, I use the six seconds model, and that came out of the work of Salovey and Mayer. And there are three parts with eight skills. The first one is know yourself. The second one is choose yourself. And the third part is give yourself. And within those three segments of the model, with knowing yourself, there are two skills that if you're serious about emotional intelligence, you can work on these. One is developing your emotional literacy, and that refers to your ability to name the emotions that you're experiencing. The second one is recognizing your patterns. So once you're able to name them, now you can recognize when I feel this, then this happens. Because the curious thing about recognizing your emotions your patterns is that if other people recognize your patterns, they can push your buttons and cause you to be triggered at
right.
inopportune times. So that's the first part of the model. Know yourself. Choose yourself. It's really about once you have that information, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to react or are you going to respond? And if you choose to respond, then there are four skills that you need to develop. One is navigating your emotions. That a number of people do that in various ways. They get more information, they reframe, they do different things. Then you have one of my favorite skills is consequential thinking, and this is about, you know, thinking ahead and not just, you know, reacting, but thinking, if I do this, then these are the things that can happen. These are the risks that I'm taking, or these are the opportunities, because you can look at it from either perspective or from both, actually. You have intrinsic motivation, and this refers to your ability to be motivated by your internal compass, your values, your beliefs, your mores, your morals. All of this comes from within you versus extrinsic motivation where your peers or your boss or your family influence you into doing things that you're uncomfortable with. So with emotionally intelligent persons, they're aware of both sides, but they don't give up that which is most precious to them. They find a way. And then there's optimism, and people always talk about the glass half full and half empty, but I like to look at it from the perspective of it's a way of thinking in an empowered way. So from my perspective, optimists are empowered because despite what they may be seeing in the present moment, they say to themselves, this too shall pass, and here's what I'm going to do to remove myself from this situation over time. Sometimes it's not something that they can do right away, but they know that they are empowered to do something. And they know that while they're waiting in a situation that's not necessarily beneficial to them, they have a plan, and that gives them the motivation, that internal drive to continue. So that's those four skills refer to that part of the model that's where you're choosing yourself. And then giving yourself is the part of the model where, you know, you're able to connect and engage in new ways because you have those other skills that you've developed. And one way would be empathy. And, you know, the more I talk to people in the workplace, it's always about I. It's always about the me. And with empathy, this is about being aware of yourself, but also being aware of others and what's going on with them so that you can respond in a way that's beneficial, as I said before, that's mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, and you kind of have touched on this, talk about, you know, like, why in our lives is it important for us to have emotional intelligence and to work on raising our emotional intelligence? Why is that important?
You know, I look at emotional intelligence in my book from the perspective of the workplace. So from the workplace perspective, it's important because studies have shown that people can sell more, customer service improves, staff morale can improve, but it goes way beyond the workplace. People with health problems, emotional intelligence helps them to be more optimistic, helps them to see that they are empowered. People with students in academia with stronger or higher emotional quotient scores score higher and do better according to studies than those who don't develop their emotional quotients. So it has so many applications. It's powerful.
Yeah, and you know, it seems to me, and you know, like this is just from a healthcare standpoint, that raising the emotional intelligence in my profession, not only in my profession, but also with patients, is gives empowered patients to be a more active role in their well-being and their healthcare. I'm seeing more and more people who are coming in who are well-educated, and I think their level of emotional intelligence is raising, at least aspects of it, and you know, talk a little bit about that, I'm sure. But, like, you know, I'm seeing that with patients being a lot more, with people in general being a lot more savvy with looking up information, that it would seem like the emotional intelligence is raising on its own, and that could be that the information age or this savvy look is masking something as well. Like, you know, there's now the ability to be more intelligent from a knowledge standpoint, but it doesn't actually equal emotional intelligence. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, with our IQs and our knowledge, I see a lot of people who have accumulated quite a lot of knowledge and degrees, and they don't have strong emotional intelligence skills, and they're never very clear about why their careers have stalled. They don't understand it because they've always achieved academically, but they are not understanding that now that you're out of school, you have to engage. And there are certain ways that you can engage that make your life easier and lessen your stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. I, you know, when I look at my profession, I look at, you know, physicians, And, you know, those physicians who have a higher emotional intelligence tend to connect with patients, tend to get better outcomes because they establish a rapport and they're more relatable.
Right.
You know? And those who, and they go into particular specialties as well. You know, you tend to find higher emotional intelligence inside of more primary care physicians. They would call themselves people, you know, in a way. And
right.
If my colleagues heard me say this, I'm sure that I would not live it down. But you know, those specialties like surgery, where they don't have to deal with people, they tend to, you know, not all of them, I would assert, have a lower emotional intelligence. They don't deal with people a lot. And what I get, the feedback that I get from patients is that, you know, sometimes they're not engaging in a way that makes the patient feel comfortable. So I think that's just very interesting to recognize how the knowledge, the age of information, doesn't necessarily equal the age of emotional intelligence. And so it's so important to distinguish the two. So now I have another question about that. It's kind of like a follow-up question. Do you think that emotional intelligence is something that can be suppressed by external environment? Like, say, for example, you know, as a parent raising a child, it seems like I could encourage emotional intelligence in my son at a young age, or if I could suppress it. Do you
Absolutely.
Think that is something that is occurring in the world, like where the emotional intelligence is being either suppressed by the parents, the school, or the media? How do you think those play a role in the suppression or encouragement, empowerment of emotional intelligence?
I think I'll take that from an empowerment perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I started a local pilot program with emotional intelligence in the public school system. And what we did is we created a model. I worked along with the Six Seconds team, and we created a model where the parents were involved, the teachers were involved, the students were involved, and so were the counselors. And we measured the emotional intelligence levels at the beginning of the study. And at the end of the pilot, we started to see, we had some adjustments that we had to make along the way too because of cultural differences, but we started to see actual changes and the students were starting to express their emotions and identify them and approach managing their emotions in different ways. And this also works with bullying, because if you give them a new skill set for channeling those emotions, the ideal is for them to shift in their behaviors because they have new skills. So yes, to answer your question, it can be suppressed and it can be empowered. We can set the stage or give them the space so that they can evolve as emotionally intelligent beings.
That is so awesome. And the work with 6 seconds that you did with that school, I mean, those types of programs are so important, you know, like if we're, I know there is like a campaign around bullying, and it really does, I think it really does revolve around empowering the emotional intelligence of children, you know.
That's right.
Because, this is my view, but, you know, anything can be really resolved inside of communication, effective communication. And
I actually have a similar view.
Yeah, I would imagine so. and so, you know, with that effective communication comes out of empowering emotional intelligence. I mean, it's just, and to me, it's logical and it makes sense. But I just know, what comes with me doesn't, it's not common sense to everyone. I definitely know that. And so that's why this topic is so, you know, important. So what I want to do, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say different researchers identify emotion as being the first thing that happens when a situation occurs, but they also connect thought into that. And so children and adults alike have this two-sided thing going where there's a mindset that's happening and either triggering the emotion or the emotion is triggering the mindset. And neuroscientists, you know, believe that we hardwire our brains to be triggered in certain ways. So there are different views depending on the authors. But there is a connection between thought and emotion.
Yes, yes, that is awesome. That is so true. So what I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break. And, you know, we got to pay some bills to the network for the network. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about workplace and emotional intelligence. And I want to get into, you know, how, you know, what are some tips that we can do to empower emotional intelligence in our children and, you know, like in other ways that we can empower emotional intelligence. So when you're listening to the Wellness Blueprint Radio, Dr. Maisha and Coach Elliot and our esteemed guest, Yvette Bethel, we're talking about Equilibrium, unleashing the power of your emotional intelligence. And this is a great, great conversation. If you want to join our conversation, dial 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078 and press 1 to let us know you want to be heard. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Yvette Bethel about workplace emotional intelligence and how we can empower emotional intelligence in our community. Don't go away. Come back. This is a juicy conversation. We'll be right back.
A business, product, service, or an event coming up? Is your current marketing getting you nowhere? Survival Radio Network is an award-winning network with over 1 million downloads. We're offering high-exposure 30-second spots on our network, reaching diverse demographics both locally and nationwide. Give us a call at 323-977-8172 or visit our website at www.survivalradionetwork.us today. SRN. We do radio.
Do you have tax issues, owe back taxes, or need tax relief? Contact L&B Tax Service today. L&B offers you over 15 years of expertise and first-class tax service for individuals, professionals, and business owners. With nationwide service, you can easily find a location near you. Contact one of our tax professionals through our website, lbtaxservice.com. That's www.lbtaxservice.com. L&B Tax Service Incorporated. Tax professionals that you can trust.
The 2016 U.S. Department of Energy Small Business Forum and Expo will take place in Atlanta, Georgia, next May 23rd through the 25th. Small businesses interested in working with the federal government are encouraged to attend. The forum will provide educational workshops on how to contract with the government, as well as business matchmaking sessions for all small business concerns. For additional information, please visit the event website at smallbusinessconference.energy.gov or call 571-297-4006. This has been a public service announcement.
Survival Radio Network, with now more than 1 million downloads. Congratulations to the staff, producers, engineers, and hosts for your tireless pursuit of excellence. And thank you, our loyal listeners, for supporting this movement to inspire, motivate, and educate people worldwide. Survival Radio Network, Survival Radio Christian Network, and our new Survival Sports Radio Network broadcast top-notch shows Sunday through Saturday. Check us out by visiting our website at www.survivalradionetwork.us. SRN, we do radio 1 million strong.
Testing.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. You are tuned to the hottest network out. SRN. We do radio.
We are back. We are back. You are listening to
the Wellness Blueprint Radio with Dr. Maisha and Coach Elliot. Coach Elliot is out today. However, we are having a juicy conversation with Ms. Yvette Bethel, who is talking with us today about EQ-librium, unleashing the power of your emotional intelligence. If you want to join us today with questions or comments, the number to call is 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. And just press 1 to let us know that you'd like to be heard. Before we continue our conversation, you know, we always have to have our pediatric tip of the week. So while Dr. Ruby will not be doing that tip today, I will be doing that tip. It's cold and flu season. That it is the season of cold and flu. Now, we've talked about this before, so there are some extra tips that I want to give around cold and flu, the prevention of and natural solutions. The first thing is common sense. Wash your hands. Wash your little one's hands. Hand washing is the single most effective way to prevent cold and flu. You want to wash your hands with soap, because soap is what actually washes the germs off. And you want to wash them for the length of time that it takes you to sing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." Yes, indeed, I just said for the length of time that it takes to sing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." So that's the first tip. The second tip is a couple of natural solutions. Now, I know Dr. Ruby mentioned elderberry syrup, but one other thing that's very effective is colloidal silver. And what you want to do is, if you're going to use colloidal silver for, it's safe for babies, and it's also safe for your parents, too. If you want to use colloidal silver, you take a teaspoon, and you give a teaspoon to your little one. You only do that once a day at the first sign of symptoms. And then you can use any other thing like the elderberry syrup. Of course, if they're having a fever, you can use Tylenol or Motrin if needed. But at the first sign of any symptoms, you want to give them a teaspoon of colloidal silver. There are essential oils that are also effective against viruses, such as eucalyptus, cinnamon, oregano, and thyme oil, like the spice. So these are some of the things that you can use in order to help to fight or prevent cold and flu. But the single most effective one is hand washing. So this is Dr. Maisha with your pediatric tip of the week. And now, we're back to our lovely Yvette Bethel. So Yvette.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the work culture and how emotional intelligence is important in the work culture.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do a lot of, I'm a consultant and I do work on HR consulting and organizational development and change projects. I come across a lot of different work cultures, but there seems to be a trend. And one of the primary trend is control. There's a lot of there are a lot of cultures out there that have very controlling policies, and the executives are controlling, the managers are controlling. And what happens is employees start to feel that, you know, I want to make a contribution, but it's not being listened to. And they become voiceless in that whole control mechanism or culture. Now, as employees start to feel that despite what they feel they have to offer is not going to be listened to, that voicelessness starts to evolve into anger, entitlement, all kinds of other things that are unproductive in the workplace. And sometimes I find, too, that in that controlled environment, employees, they're so discouraged because nothing that they seem to do seems valued, because in some instances when they do what's appropriate according to what they think it should be, they're chastised if someone disagrees with them. And if they do something that's not according to policy or what's thought that should be done, they're chastised. So it feels to them that there's no way that they can win. It's a no-win situation. And that impacts emotion in so many ways. Some people, even, as you know, with stress, the emotions, you can have anger, you can have sadness, discouragement, apathy. But all of that leads to stress. And as you sustain...
Uh-oh. You bet? Yvette, can you hear? Oh, seems like we may be having a little technical difficulty. And while we are remedying that, what Yvette was talking about was how, you know, management gets frustrated, and I can remember, you know, gets frustrated and then feels like they don't have a voice, and then at that point, you know, there's a particular kind of communication that ensues. So, you know, and that stress, not being able to, I can see how, you know, a low emotional intelligence would actually decrease the ability to be able to communicate appropriately to the employees. And so, and that's stressful to employees, which would have a particular, which would foster a particular kind of reaction that may not be the most empowering reaction. So, you know, increasing the emotional intelligence or training in emotional intelligence is an important way to really improve communication and lower stress levels in the workplace. That is what I can see. Now, what I want to do as we're remedying this issue is I want to take another very, very quick commercial break, and let's see if we can get Yvette Bethel situated and get this technical difficulty situated. And we will be, oh, it looks like it didn't take that long. Just by speaking into that, we got her back. Hi.
Yes, I'm here.
That was interesting.
The smoke signal.
Hello.
I was talking to myself.
I figured that was what was happening. I was like, she's still talking, isn't she?
Yes.
So the last thing that we heard right before you cut off is you were talking about how, you know, when the management, initially they're empowered to help their employees, and then things start to roll downhill from there. Like they get frustrated and then you kind of cut out.
Oh, okay. And I did start to talk about an exercise I do with BioDots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with the BioDots, while we're talking to each other in the session, it's blue because they're calm and they're engaged. And once you're in that blue zone, you can be creative, you can engage and give the best that you have. But as soon as they leave, they notice during the day that dot starts to change color. And it indicates more levels of stress. And the highest level is when it turns black. And what they find interesting is how fast the dot can turn from one color to black, and that also the amount of times that the dot changes to black within a given day. And one of the things that I know is that if you're under that level of stress on a daily basis, it really can lead to physical challenges over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about
the amount of people who call out of work because of the physical manifestation of stress, it is, you know, and it costs money to the corporations. I don't know if they realize this or not. There are many corporations who are starting to realize it. And, of course, you know this because you consult with these businesses and corporations. But, you know, for them, it's all about the bottom line, dollars and cents. And so whatever to me, whatever works to have them get the programs in so that we can, because this is going to improve not only their performance in the workplace, but the performance in their personal lives as well. It'll impact relationships. It'll impact, you know, their marriages, you know, their performance in the community. So I think, you know, like, whatever it works to get them into the program, to the corporation, so that it can impact their lives in a much bigger way. Yeah,
that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got the exercise that you do it with the employers and the employees. What are some ways that, you know, I'm speaking from a parent, and then I'm also going to speak even from a healthcare professional standpoint. What, as a parent, could I do to, as my son develops? Now, he's one today, and so as he's starting to develop language and develop all of these types of abilities, what can I do to empower his emotional intelligence?
Well, I do have a nephew. I don't have a son, but I pay attention because with him, he has sometimes a temper about things. And over time, once we can sit down and talk about what it is that he's experiencing so that he can say to me that this is how I feel, and I can say to him, okay, when you feel this way, what are you doing? We have a conversation, and I can see over time that he's transforming because at one point, he was expressing himself in a way that was being interpreted as bullying, and now he doesn't do that at all. So it's a matter of listening and being listened to. It's a matter of helping them to see and identify and name their emotions. It's really the same model, and understand the consequences of those actions once they react in ways that are not productive. So once I can reach him and help him to see the connections, he's eight mm-hmm. now. He's not one, but once I can reason with him, he makes adjustments and I can see the changes. But it's incremental. It's not going to be a miraculous fit because you have to get through to them.
Yeah, I imagine so. And Is there a way for us to empower in each other, like foster or empower in emotional intelligence, you know, adult to adult, like in relationships, or, you know, is there a way to encourage and empower that?
Oh, definitely. I believe, and you said it earlier, I believe that communication is the key. So once you're able to apply emotional intelligence and navigate yourself, the way you communicate is another integral part of the whole emotional quotient experience, because
mm-hmm.
you can do all of the inner work, and if you don't get it out right, it can still damage the relationship. For instance, for people who have challenges with listening, yes, I navigated myself, but I'm not listening. I'm just saying what I need to say, and I'm not listening to what you have to say. So every perspective I give is my own. Then you haven't quite done it. You still have some more work to do because the whole last piece is engaging, and that's the power of connecting and listening. Is directly connected to connecting and empathy. So,
yeah,
that whole listening piece for me is very powerful, and not just listening to the words, because as we know, nonverbal communication is more accurate. But but it's listening mm-hmm. to nonverbals and even some of the meta language, what's not being said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're speaking my language now. You've been speaking my language the whole time, but when you said meta, I was like, oh, we got an NLP trained person up in here. I got you. You
boy.
I don't get to hear that often. We have that conversation with people often.
Oh, no.
It's great, though, I mean, because it's really important. I always say, you know, as I'm training, I train a lot of medical students and residents, and, you know, I talk about listening as one of the single most important things to do with your patients, but not listening just to the words, but listening behind the words, you know, listening to, listening at the body language, listening to what's, like you said, what's not being said, listening to tone of voice, listening, like all of that is language, you know, listening for the emotion, you know, that there's this like sort of immediate language, you know, you get that emotion, you know, even energetically listening.
You even have micro expressions that you have to be aware of, you know, because the micro expressions and the micro body language really
mm-hmm.
is a strong indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like, you know, there's like the eye movements and which, you know, like eye contact versus no eye contact versus which way the eyes. I mean, it's like so many little things that people can become. And there's tons and tons of books out there. But, listening is really, really the single most important, I think, thing in communication. And I think a lot of times when people hear, like, you know, people out in the world hear communication, people think speaking, getting their point across in a way that, you know, makes a difference. But it's not always that, you know, you can get your point across by listening.
Yeah.
And then speaking into someone else's listening. Like that's sort of, you know, one of the things I teach. So really awesome. Really. I mean, we could have a whole other show just on communication itself. As a matter of fact, I think I'm gonna email Denise and have her book you for another show so we can just talk about communication.
Okay. That works.
Yeah, I mean, communication inside of the emotional intelligence model, because it's so important, you know, and what really is communication.
And I'll share with you, whenever I teach emotional intelligence, I always combine it with communication, because I don't see, from my perspective, how they can be separate.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of things, it isn't, right? You know, there's a lot of things that we say are separate, that we put in categories, and really, this stuff is all interrelated, well-being, communication, emotional intelligence, you know, like, all that stuff is so interconnected, like we are, I think, as human beings, you know, as
mm-hmm.
humans, we are definitely more interconnected than, you know, most people would like to think, you know, with our individuality complexes.
We're on the same page with that.
One consciousness. Yeah, I think we definitely have some connecting to do offline as well. I would love to have more conversation with you and just, you know, develop how I can support you. And speaking of that, I want to let people know how they can get a copies of your books, because you got a few of them. So where can they get copies of your various books, and how can they reach you if they want either to consult with you or just to follow your conversation of empowerment and emotional intelligence?
Well, thank you for that invitation to share. My website is www.orgsoul.com. And at that website, I offer a free tool to help you to navigate your emotions in the event that you encounter something at work or elsewhere. It's really useful in any situation. And the books can be gotten at Amazon.com, or you can order the books through my website. It takes you directly to Amazon.com there. For the rest of this month, I'm offering some free gifts. So if you go on my virtual book tour page, you can vie for a free copy of Equilibrium or the Activity Book, which won an award for self-help from the USA Best Book Awards. And that's also going to be provided as a gift to a lucky person. So check out the website. I have blogs there that shares some of my thoughts on different topics related to emotional intelligence and the dynamics in the workplace, because I find it so fascinating.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. My voice just kind of went away. While I'm recovering, what is the one thing you want to leave with our listeners today about emotional intelligence?
There's a young lady sent me a 3-page document complaining about a situation at work, and I told her something that I wanted to share with everybody. And I said, when you're at a crossroad, you can choose a victim path and allow yourself to be affected by what seems to be unfair treatment, or you can choose to be the best you can be every day. This is the empowered path. No matter who you are, your race, gender, age, place of birth, there will be persons who will support you and those who will not. Unsupportive people are not an excuse for bitterness. Just remember, everyone has their season, so just continue to focus on what is positive and aligned with your purpose. Always remember that you are phenomenal.
That is a phenomenal way to close our show. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Yvette, it was a wonderful time just having this conversation with you. I definitely want to continue this offline.
Great.
And where are you located? Where are you calling? Where are you from?
I'm calling from the Bahamas, but I do work in the U.S.
Oh, okay. You know what? I did hear a little bit of an accent.
Yes.
Somewhere in there. I did. I was about to ask you about that, but then I got sidetracked with this juicy conversation. But yes, I
yes.
did hear an accent. Very good. So, yeah, let's definitely connect, and thank you so much for being on with us. I've posted your website information in our group and on our page.
Great.
So, you know, feel free to join the Wellness Blueprint Radio group, and you know, people can connect with you as well.
I'd love to connect.
Oh,
I'm always open.
Excellent. Yeah. And so we will be in touch so we can have you back on again. Thank you
Great.
So much.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're very welcome. It was such a pleasure. Yeah. Well, audience, you heard it. This is a juicy conversation, and we do this every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about various topics with our guests. You can stay updated on these topics by going to our Facebook page, which is the Wellness Blueprint Radio. We also have a group, and you're welcome to join our group. It's also called the Wellness Blueprint Radio. If you want to get in touch with me and get articles on various recipes and health and wellness topics, you can go to www.create-your-blueprint.com. That's www.create-your-blueprint.com. Here, you can sign up for our free newsletter and get weekly inboxes of our topics and recipes. And, of course, if you want to reach me personally, schedule an appointment, then you can visit the website www.mbsinboy.wellness.org. That's mbswellness.org. Remember, Address Your Stress is coming up November 7th. Register today. Spots are limited, and it is only $50, so you cannot beat that for a day retreat. And finally, check out all the wonderful radio shows on the Survival Radio Network by going to www.survivalradionetwork.us. And with that, I bid you
adieu for this week, and we look forward to next week's conversation. Namaste.
Hey, check out these sweet reindeer socks. Only 99 cents.
Oh, yeah? Got this Samsung Tab 4 8.0 from AT&T for free.
Free?
Had a hard time finding a stocking it would fit in, though.
Whoa, no need to rub it in.
Rubbing it in would be telling you I got the tablet for free when I bought a new Samsung Galaxy smartphone on AT&T Next, which I did.
Oh, AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Free tablet requires 2-year agreement. Must activate eligible service on both Galaxy devices. Fees, charges, and restrictions apply. Available at select locations. See store for details.